Okay, you guys just finished a UK tour, and now you're heading back to the States for your first tour of 2012. How are you guys feeling right now? Are you tired at all?
A little bit. It's funny. We're not worn out as a band, really. We finished up in the UK last October, actually, and then came home and went over to the Middle East and did some shows for the troops, and that was a little grueling, but we've had a couple of days to recover from that now, and then obviously just finished the acoustic tour in the UK. So yeah, man, I think we're rested and ready to rock.
How was the reception with the troops? I mean, because when you guys had, you know, some of your really big hits, I mean, the guys that are probably in the troops now are probably like 15, 16, like that most influential period. So were you guys like loved by the troops?
Yeah, it's really cool whenever you do like, you know, the bigger hits and to see their reactions. And, they're over there sort of obviously without a lot going on. You know, I mean, they get entertainment, I think, once a week in most places, comedians or bands or whatever. But, you know, they definitely appreciate everything that comes their way, and I think it's nice for them to actually have something that they recognize. Our response has always just been amazing to the troops, but this trip in particular was something special.
Okay, was there anything that happened especially that made it special?
We flew out into the Persian Gulf and played on an aircraft carrier, and you know that a lot of those sailors that are out there on those things, you know, sometimes don't even see daylight for 2 or 3 weeks. You know, I mean, they're doing their job every day, and there's no weekends. You know, every day's exactly the same. The response there was pretty overwhelming. I mean, they were just so happy, and officers were telling us, you know, hey, we haven't seen a lot of these folks smile in weeks. So, you know, thank you. And it was very uplifting experience. Definitely something that I'll remember forever.
I mean, did you ever think back in Texas in 1994 that you'd be playing on an aircraft carrier?
No, I didn't. and to make it even crazier, that wasn't our first one. So, I mean, like, it's all, you know, every day you just sort of wake up and you're like, this is what I do for a living, you know, like, this is my job. And we're definitely very blessed, as cheesy as that sounds. I mean, we definitely know how lucky we are to be able to have done this for 18 years and to, you know, to still be able to do it is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of which, I mean, there's not a lot of pop punk, you know, alternative bands out there anymore, and the ones that were really, like, you know, hitting high notes the same time you guys were hitting high notes, or they're gone. You know, no one knows where they are, and you guys are still producing new music. I mean, your new album, your album that came out last year is awesome. I mean, you guys haven't, you know, missed a beat. How does that make you feel to have that kind of staying power?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, there's that, and just the loyalty of the fan base, and the fact that our fan base sort of, you know, constantly just evolves, and you know, we have fans that have been with us for 18 years, and then we have, you know, the young fans who are just now starting to listen because of Phineas and Ferb, and you know, I mean, it's really cool. I mean, and I think for BFS, you know, I mean, the main thing was for us is we knew we never would want to change. Like, Going Pursuit is what it is, and, you know, we found our niche, and the idea was always to stay the same, you know, to stay a fun-loving, happy band that made people smile, and, you know, we've definitely stayed true to that course, and I think that's helped us, you know, in the loyalty of the fan base, because they know what they're going to get when they buy an album or they come see a show, so, you know, but yeah, definitely, again, one of those things where you just sort of pinch yourself. You're just like, if I've been in the band almost 20 freaking years,
I mean, time flies, huh?
It definitely does, man. It's nutty, but they say it just gets faster and faster as you grow older, and I do feel like that's the case. So you just, you know, still trying to enjoy it as it comes.
You just said before that, you know, you guys found your niche, and that's something that, like, you know, you've tried to stay true to, but, I mean, you guys have released over 10 albums. Change is almost imminent, especially, like, you know, the fact that you guys stay in the public light in a way. I mean, how do you think you've grown as a band over the past, you know, 18 years?
Well, we're definitely better musically. I mean, we're better songwriters, song crafters. I mean, we're better at playing our instruments. I mean, we really weren't that good when we first started, and, you know, individually. And, you know, that's something I think that just comes with playing so many freaking shows. You kind of can't help but get better. So, yeah, man, I mean, I think that's probably the biggest evolution is just musically we're just better. We're tighter. And again, you know, writing songs is something that used to be kind of a chore, and now it's something that, you know, that I enjoy doing, and something that doesn't really seem like work.
Speaking of writing songs, I mean, you guys write these songs that seem to, you know, resonate with a certain crowd, you know, just like, you know, your average, you know, rocker kind of guy, not, you know, not too flashy, just, you know, somebody that loves music and loves life and loves pop culture. I mean, how difficult is it really to write these songs?
You know, it's not really a difficult thing. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I'm a child of the 80s and you know, that music and those TV shows and those movies still, you know, are something that are in my everyday speech, and I sort of write like I talk. So, you know, it is a little bit weird to be, you know, 40 years old and thinking about high school still, but, you know, they were definitely the most influential years of our lives, and you know, something that we revert back to quite a bit, you know, theme-wise. But you know, I mean, songwriting, again, you know, is one of those things you just practice, you know, and you the more that you do it, the better you get. And you know, I love writing with other people. I love co-writing, even with younger musicians or whatever, just because you take something away from every single session, you know, and that's a cool aspect of writing with other people, you know. Borrowing little things, little tricks and things like that other people have, and you know, constantly evolving as a writer.
Would you consider Mitch Allan somebody that you've kind of borrowed from, or just like someone that's influenced you? I mean, he's helped the band like with a couple of songs here and there, but I mean, SR-71 was such a great underrated band that never really got its due.
I wouldn't say that I was influenced by Mitch. I consider Mitch more of one of my peers. You know, I mean, we were doing it at the same time. In fact, I remember the first time I ever heard the song Right Now. We were, you know, Bowling Pursuit had just signed with Jive, and we were sort of doing our thing. And Mitch and I met pretty early on, and became fast friends, and still, you know, still, actually, I was just talking with him 2 nights ago. And so I definitely, you know, I mean, for me, my influence-wise, you know, is a little deeper than, you know, bands that you know, were kind of doing the same thing we were doing. Songwriting-wise, too, really. I mean, he and I have written together and definitely learned some things from him, you know, as far as, you know, and especially in the creating of demos or whatever. Like, I wrote with him before I really was into the whole studio thing, and he, you know, showed me a few things, and I was like, you know, that doesn't really look that hard. I think I could do this. So I still got a couple of Mitch Allan tricks that I use in that regard, for sure.
Okay, as far as influences go, like you said, you're a product of the 80s and stuff, but let's be really honest here. What are a couple of songs on your iPod that you're just ashamed to listen to, that just happen to sneak onto your earphones every once in a while?
You know, I get asked that question quite a bit. You know, I'm not embarrassed of anything, man. I mean, like, I can really find, you know, I find good in pretty much almost all music. I mean, there's definitely a few things out there that I probably don't care for as much. But, you know, I it's pretty all over the place. I mean, I like music that my kids like, you know. So, I mean, I actually enjoy, like, High School Musical and those songs from that movie. Like, I like seeing that. All done. So that would probably be up there with the more embarrassing stuff that I have on my iPod than stuff that I listen to my kids. If you were just sort of digging iPod and be like, what is this?
What do you think you guys haven't done that you've always wanted to do? I mean, we were just joking around how you've played on aircraft carriers, you've played in the Middle East. I mean, you've been signed to a label. That's always like a big, you know, that's the big first goal. You guys have had Grammy nominations. You've done a lot. What's out there that you guys haven't done that you really want to do? Like, what are your goals right now?
Man, there really aren't a lot. I mean, there's a few places we would like to visit. I mean, we've never been to Brazil, and that's kind of high up on our list. I mean, as far as other places that we've been, there's not a lot, you know, that I could say, you know, man, I wish we could do this. We're definitely, you know, we had a list at one point, and we've managed to pretty much check it all off. So there's not really a ton of stuff left. I mean, we would love to go back to Australia, and again, Brazil would be a lot of fun, and that kind of thing. But as far as like goals, I mean, we just really don't have any anymore. I mean, our goal would be to just sort of keep doing what we're doing, and you know, we're still enjoying ourselves. That was the original, you know, mission statement of Boeing Pursuit was, you know, hey, when we're going to do this because it's fun, and when it's not fun anymore, we'll stop. And so, you know, we're still having a good time. And so it's, you know, I was planning the rest of the year with our manager yesterday and sort of going over the calendar, and you do sort of get to the point where you're like, oh my God, you know, that's going to be a busy time, you know, and you get a little anxious about it. But you know, once you're out there and doing your thing and you're with the guys, and it's still just as fun as it was the first day. It really is.
Okay, when you guys were first breaking into music, I mean, the punk pop scene was just very, very different. There were so many bands out there. Now, I mean, the market's very different. Are there any bands out there now that you kind of listen to and say, wow, they sound a little bit like us when we first started?
Yeah, I mean, I hear that a lot. That's definitely a Mitch Allan, Jarrett Reddick thing that we joke about a lot. You'll hear guys, he and I definitely kind of have similar styles and sound the same, and not on purpose, it's just that's the way it is. And you definitely, you know, somebody pop something in every once in a while, and you're just like, my kids will even be like, is that you, Dad? You know, and no, that's not me, but, you know, that's nice, though. It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling to sort of hear yourself in whatever, you know, I mean, in whatever somebody else is doing. But, you know, if you hear little doses of yourself or little weird things or whatever that you kind of feel like you might have influenced, it's a pretty big compliment.
Okay, what do you want to be remembered for, like, 20 years from now as a musician? When somebody says, you know, Jarrett Reddick, what do you want them to think?
Well, you know, I mean, I think I'm definitely known as probably one of the nicer guys in the business, and I definitely sort of feel like I earned that. I definitely treat everybody, you know, as well as I possibly can, based on, you know, as best as I can, period. And, you know, so I want to be known as a nice guy, you know, and a good songwriter. I mean, I think the one thing, you know, about being involved for super so long is you do sort of get pigeonholed as the, hey, he's the fart joke beer guy, you know, and there's definitely some deeper aspects to the things, the songs that I write. But, you know, I hope that I can earn myself a spot in you know, some people's minds as being going down in history as a decent songwriter, and that would be enough for me. Nice guy, good songwriter, I'm good.
Okay, you're playing with Patent Pending on this upcoming tour. I mean, do you know anything about these guys? What are you looking forward to doing on the tour?
We love Patent Pending. We actually took them out last year. And just fell in love with them. They actually remind us a lot of ourselves when we were young. I mean, they were real loud and just kind of always up and going and doing their thing. And you know, they make us smile, man. We love having Patent Pending out on the road. And then and we're also taking out a band called Freshman 15, and their guitar player actually was on stage with us as a kid, singing one of our songs with us at a show, and that's a pretty cool thing to be like, yeah, now we're taking this kid's band out on tour, you know? So it's going to be a really good tour. It's a really great, upbeat lineup. Like, it's going to be a good night. So I'm definitely looking forward to it, for sure.